realize that we certainly live in times that are difficult, and yet Thou art our peace and our strength. And now as we study the language of the New Testament, may God the Holy Spirit quicken our minds and our understanding that we can be more effective as we study Thy truth, for we ask in Christ's name, Amen. Now that, of course, is the purpose of this class, to make you more effective, not to make you Greek scholars by any means, but to familiarize you with the structure of the Greek language and give you a better understanding of how, frankly, to deal with it. Well, the first thing I guess I ought to do is ask how many of you are missing certain sheets that I have passed out. Do you all have a sheet called Grammatical Guide for Nouns? There should be two of those with the same title. One of them actually has the paradigm at the bottom, and the other simply has the two case systems that are generally used in teaching the Greek language. Y'all have those. Grammatical Guide for Nouns. You should have two of them. One begins with nouns, cases, number, gender, and then it has cases, five case system. Then on the other side of the page it says eight case system. And then the second sheet says nouns in the Greek language are declined, whereas verbs are conjugated. And we found out last week that nouns fall into three basic classifications, and those classifications are simply called declension. The conjugation of verbs will simply indicate the tense, the mood, the voice, person, and so on. When we're dealing with nouns, however, they all fall into one of these three classifications. As I mentioned last week, the second declension is the easiest because it follows more of a standard. The first is a little bit harder. And by the time you get to the third, there are a lot of irregular nouns that seem to be thrown in. And sometimes it makes it a little difficult. For example, just to give you an idea, the third declension genitive of the third declension genitive spelling is the same as the first, the second declension nominative. And so if you're not careful, if you see a word that has an os ending, it might be third declension as opposed to second declension. The second declension paradigm, or simply the way in which it's broken down, is, I'm using the five-case system, the nominative, which is the case of the subject, the genitive, which is the case of the possession. There are two forms of the genitive, but they are spelt the same. The dative, which is generally the case of the indirect object. It can either be locative or instrumental. And so you either call it the dative of means or the dative of sphere. Either way, it is spelt the same. So it's a matter of the translator opting for which one to use. Incidentally, for what it's worth, there's a textbook that was written quite a few years ago by A.T. Robertson on the grammar of the New Testament, and it's probably, without exaggeration, 6 inches thick. It stands about 12 to 14 inches high and is about 8 to 10 inches wide, and it's all on Greek grammar. We've got one page for nouns. I think Robertson probably has about 280 pages for nouns alone, and that's being quite conservative. Again, the book is about that thick. Every so often when I really want to get challenged, I open it up and go into it. I have a copy at the house. One of my Greek professors in college suggested the best thing to do with it would be simply to use it for pressing your pants, but that's a terrible thing to say about a man who did such tremendous studies on the Greek language. I might add, by the way, there are those that look at the Greek language now rather superficially, and many are even rejecting some of the findings of Robertson, but for those who are still serious students of the Greek language, they stick with the man himself. Then, of course, we have the accusative, which is the case of direct object, and then the vocative. Again, remember that the second declension nouns are generally masculine. However, they are masculine not in the actual sexual factor, but masculine from the standpoint of its grammatical usage. To determine the gender of a noun, you look to what? What's the rule? You look to the article. It is the article that tells you what it is, not the declension. The declensions are as follows. In the nominative singular, you have os. In the genitive singular, you have u. In the dative singular, you have o, and that's the omega. In the accusative singular, on. The vocative would be e. Then in the plurals, and this is a diphthong, I didn't put the breathing marks, which I should have probably, but it's e. Bible school would be oi. They try to make this sound like the oi in oil, but it's a long e sound. And interestingly enough, I found a textbook where at least they had the eta as a long e instead of eta, as it's pronounced in most Bible schools. There are other texts where they have this one correct and they have the other one incorrect. I've yet to find one other than one that is written for modern Greek where they are pronounced as it is pronounced today. The genitive is on. The dative is is. The accusative is us. And, of course, the vocative is e. Whether it be singular or plural, it is still spelt the same. Now, what you do when you are trying to figure out what a word is, and if you would look at the Greek of John 1, 1 through 28, and I had you go through that and find all of the articles. And the next thing I'm going to ask you to do would be to find all the nouns and find out what they are. I'll just give you a clue. The first line, o logos, do you see it there? In arhin in o logos. You all have that, by the way? John 1, 1 in the Greek? How many do not have it? Whoa, got to have that. Assignment for last week was to go through this entire text, all 17 verses, and simply circle the articles and then identify them. Now what I'd like you to do this week is to circle or underline all of the nouns that are articular, okay, not the anarthrous ones, and anarthrous meaning what? It does not have an article preceding it. And then identify it. I'm just going to give you the first line to give you an idea. O is the nominative singular masculine article. Logos is second declension, nominative singular. Okay? The thing that makes it masculine is what? The article that precedes it. And, of course, then you have ke, next two words, o logos again, then in pros, ton, is the accusative masculine singular, theon. Now you have ke, and then you have the anarthrous use of the word theos, because it is equative. It is understood that we're talking about the ton theon of the previous part of the verse, and so it is simply carried over, and they could have put the article in, but then they could also leave it out. Why? Because it's understood who is being spoken of. And then en o logos. And when you have two words or two nouns that are both in the same case, number and gender, it is like equating them as one. In other words, you're saying that they're the same. All right? Que Theos in o logos. Translated, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the God. Now, I'm translating it directly. And God was the Word. That's a little bit bad as far as our structure. And the Word was God. Now, I should tell you that the Jehovah's Witnesses know that this verse exists. And what they did is they used a rule of grammar which is erroneous as far as the structure of this passage is concerned. And they said that an anarthrous noun is simply a noun which takes the indefinite article. Because as we learned in our study of the definite articles, there are no indefinite articles as there is in English. Remember, in English you have one definite article and you have two indefinite articles. The two indefinite ones are a and an. A before consonants, an before vowels. In English, you have one definite article, the. In Greek, you have 24 definite articles and no indefinite articles. But when a noun is anarthrous, that is, when it does not have an article in front of it, it simply indicates that there's a uniqueness of that quality, or it is simply looking back to where it was used before and it picks up the article from that. Where an article does appear, then you simply put it in, because if o theos is o logos, then the Word is the God. You see the idea? So you don't have to express it twice. It could have been expressed twice, but in this case, it wasn't. There are many ways in which you could have said this, incidentally, equating God as the Word or the Word as God. But this is the way the Holy Spirit chose to do it, and I don't have any problem with that. It's just that what the JWs did is they said, and the Word was a God. Okay? Trying to de-deify the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, in effect, that he wasn't the God, he was just a God. A lesser God. And so now you get involved with polytheism, and before you know it, why, you got a real mess. What's interesting is that they accuse us of being polytheistic because of our Trinitarian concept, and yet they, in their interpretation of John 1:1, become that way by virtue of the fact that they classify Jesus Christ as a lower God. So you have the number one God, and that is what they call, or whom they call, Jehovah God. And then they drop down in the echelon, and they have the lesser gods, and one of them is Jesus Christ. Most people don't know that, but when you challenge them, that's especially regarding this verse. Well, that's not what it's saying at all. It's saying, and God is the Word. Okay? And what God is he talking about? The same God he's been talking about in the whole verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And this God is whom? The Word. Or the Word is, and of course again, you see, in English you have to interject words. And I just thought I'd give you a little interpretation there so you can get an appreciation of that. Of course, the last two words in verse 1, again you have, go back to theos of the last part of verse 1. That's obviously nominative, singular, okay? Masculine. You know that it is, not because of the way it appears here, but by looking back to its previous use. Ton is accusative masculine singular. And by the way, you can't change in the middle of the stream. Do you understand? You'll never have that. I just thought I'd comfort you with that. Words never change in the middle of the stream as far as their spelling. That would be very confusing. So what is understood there is o Theos in o Logos. There's no problem with that at all. And this same God that's spoken of in the accusative sense in the previous part of the verse is the Word, or the Word was, in fact, God. Now, not even knowing the first word in verse 2, look at it. That's a demonstrative pronoun. But you say, well, I don't know anything about demonstrative pronouns. Oh, yes, you do. What do you know about that demonstrative pronoun? It's nominative, singular, masculine. See it? Why? Because it's got an os ending. Again, be careful, because if you're on third declension ground, it might have been genitive. But there you can really see it. You won't have that much problem with it. And then as you move on in that verse, pros, be careful with that. That's that's a preposition. Now, that is not masculine singular nominative, even though it ends with us. That just happens to be the spelling of the word. Okay. Then ton theon, accusative singular masculine. So there's the direct object. And this one was with a beginning, it was in the beginning with the God. The God being the direct object of was in the beginning with. All right. Panta dia aftu. Now there you have a personal pronoun. What can you tell me about that personal pronoun? You're right, genitive, masculine, singular. See it? Because it's two. All right, so that's how the Greeks did it. If it was aftos, it would be what? It'd be nominative, singular, masculine. Drop down directly below it. See, verse 4, N. Now we have another personal pronoun. All right, there's two clues there. What's the first clue? Circumflex over the omega, and then another clue, there's a subscript under the omega. Correct. Looks like a little dot, but it in fact is a subscript. So what can you tell me about that? It's dative, singular, masculine. Right? There's another clue there, too, by the way, for what it's worth. N, the word in front of it, the preposition, always takes the dative. Okay? N always takes the dative. Drop down to the next one. All right, you see, N, T, Scotia. All right? What's the T there? That's a definite article, and it's what? It's feminine, dative, singular. Back up across verse 5. I'm going to try to give you all of these, and I'm jumping around. I'm just trying to show you some clues. First word there is zoe. Do you see it? Verse 4. Follow me in verse 4. En, afto. And by the way, why is it afto instead of auto? Because the, right, you see the rough breathing over the second vowel? That means that it's a diphthong. If the breathing mark was over the first vowel, then it is not a diphthong. It's over the second vowel, so that means that both of these are, they're crunched together and they change their sounds. And so you have afto, that's dative, zoe, in, ke, next one, feminine, singular, nominative, right. E, zoe, by the way, the word zoe is life. Okay, it's a noun. Well, what is it? You can identify it immediately. If the article is nominative, feminine, singular, then the noun has to be what? Nominative, feminine, singular, exactly. So you would parse this by saying, the nominative singular masculine of the Greek word zoa, that's the noun, the verb, from zoi, that's the dictionary form. By the way, the dictionary form, for what it's worth, remind me to say something about dictionaries. The dictionary form will always be for the nouns in the nominative singular. Okay? So when you look it up in the dictionary, you will see it'll look like this. What's the exact spelling? I don't want to spell it wrong. Zoe, comma, e. That's the way it would look. Okay? Logos. Oh, comma. So you look up the word logos, you say logos. Oh, it's masculine. So if you find a word that doesn't have an article in front of it, and you want to look up that word in the dictionary, you look it up, and then you look right next to it, and the article is right there. And it'll tell you what it is. Okay? Suppose you found one of these. Just watch this. What would that tell you? That there's both forms. For example, all right. Are there false? O. Are there fee? E. The root here is adelf. By the way, this is brother. Then what has this got to be? See how the Greeks did it? They didn't say brother, sister. They said brother os, brother e. And the brother os is the male, and the brother e is the what? Is the female. They spelled it exactly the same, but simply used the feminine terminate here and the masculine here, and with the article it would tell you exactly. E are there fi, or are there false? Not the heart, is it? It isn't really. Once you get all of these clues lined up and locked into your mind, it really starts to fly. You see, what's the problem with English? We've got different words. Greeks didn't do that. An example of that, and we'll see that when we... Now, there will be some problems with this, but I just want to show you how English doesn't follow any rhyme or reason. We have go, right? Go. What's the participial form? Going, past tense, went. There's a good one for you. Whoa, why didn't you spell? And we have gone. Go, went, gone. What's this? See? Well, the Greeks would have said goos, not goos, but goao, go, the participial form. Went would be ga asomen, and then go onyinyin, see, something like that. It always had that root in there. That root has to stay with the word. Now, sometimes that root becomes corrupted only because of a major change that occurs. And I don't want to confuse you. There's one that really gets ridiculous. Estheo means to I eat. That's a verb, okay? The past, the aorist tense of estheo should have been esthesamen. We ate. Instead of it's ephaga. And you say, what happened there? Corruption. Some corrupt Greek got in there and he started his... Interestingly enough, what modern Greeks did is they took ephaga and backed up, instead of having estheo as the present active indicative, they made it phago. Okay? Or trovo, for I eat. So they kind of reversed the order and said, hey, let's have some rhyme here. So what you have is that which is called a stem. And the stem would be the basic root of the word. Like in this case, logos would be, log. Okay? Now, we're going to make that nominative as a noun. Os. Okay? I want to make that same word what? Genitive. Ooh. They still have log in there. This says the word. O logos. To logu. Of the word. Okay? Then we have this. Is that right? Is that the dative? And then the accusative would look like that. I believe it's that. Ton logon. If somebody said to you, how is this translated? O logos, the word. Logu, of the word. Logon, the word. Logon, the word. See, in English, we make no specification as such in differentiating between the sounds or the spelling, because English is structural. You've got to put it in a certain structural order. But if I put this at the first of the sentence and this at the last of the sentence, you would know that this is still nominative and that's still accusative. And in translating it, you'd have to unscramble it. Remember what I said last week? Generally, though, when the word is spoken, it is more structural because the person can't really see how you're spelling it while you're saying it. But when it's written, they can be a little bit more loose about it. But generally, you keep structure as you go along. I mean, you don't want to, you know, really confuse a person. But there are some things in here that quite obviously could be a problem if you didn't know that. All right, let's pick out some more of the articles. That's our task right now. Verse 5. Ke tophos. Wait a minute, I forgot. There's another one in verse 4. Tophos again. What's that? Neuter? Nominative and or accusative, because remember the spelling is the same. So here's how you'd write that. If you were in a class and you were asked to parse it or identify it, you would go nominative, and then you would say nominative slash accusative singular. Because it would be either one. Now, if they asked you to translate it, then it would be your task to figure out whether it's nominative or accusative. Well, how would you know if it was nominative or accusative? Well, if there's a subject in the sentence, then it's got to be what? Accusative, because the subject would be in the nominative case, and if there wasn't, then you would know that it, in fact, was the nominative form. They're not going to try to confuse you. Now, God the Holy Spirit didn't say, hey, let's throw these in there to see how we can confuse people when they try to read the language. And by the way, we know by looking at that, that it in fact is what? It's accusative. Why? Well, go back to the first line of verse 4. Again with Zoe. Y'all there? You got your finger there? Got it? Or your eye at least. Zoe in. All right? Now, comma, right? Ke and e Zoe. The life. There's the subject. In. There's the verb. Was. To, phos, the light. Now, ton anthropon. That's genitive, right? Plural. Masculine, correct. And the life was the light, there's the direct object, of mankind. This is from anthropos, by the way, which is the generic use of the word. It would refer to man. The life was the light of men. Zoe, by the way, is life. Phos is light. So you have three articles right there in a row. One's nominative feminine, one's accusative neuter, and the next is both singular, by the way, and then ton is genitive plural. And incidentally, if you're not doing your homework, you're going to have problems. I can tell you that right now. Because these are things I want you to be able to think about outside of class. If you're trying to get all this stuff in your mind now, what's one of the things you got to do first to first? Proto-proto. Memorize the articles. All 24 of them. If you're still doing one of these numbers, that's rough stuff. Can't do that. Lock those in. And you say, well, how can I do that? Get yourselves little cards, okay? Little flashcards. Make them up yourselves. Either that or just write the paradigm down and put it someplace where you look quite often. The mirror for you ladies. And just, you know, oh yeah. And eventually, your mind will just take a photographic picture of it. Now, talking about dictionaries and Bibles, I called two places. I did get a response from both, but I got a better deal from the second. The package, remember the Bible I showed you, the Greek New Testament and the dictionary, is $13.50 as a package. And what I need to know tonight, because I have to call the man tomorrow, it'll take about 2 weeks to get here, but that's good. Because as I said to him, you won't be ready for them yet anyway. What I need to know is how many of you want them, and then I will order them. Okay? If you don't want the package, quite frankly, I don't know that it would. If you can't afford $13.50, I don't know what it would take if you break the package up. They do sell them separately. An example, the plastic cover, the one that I showed you, the red plastic with the red plastic, is $13.50. The cloth cover, which is simply a hard cover, is $32 just for the New Testament. Go with the plastic, folks. The paperback is $13 just for the New Testament. I can't figure that out. The package is $13.50 and it's vinyl. Go with the vinyl. I've had that vinyl Bible for, well, since 1970. So that's 21 years old and it hasn't really shown that. And I use that in class. The dictionary that goes with it has all the New Testament words in it. Any word that you want to look up is in there. I got a program for my computer that's taken right from that dictionary, and every word that's in that dictionary I now have in my computer, so I really don't have to look it up anymore. All I have to do is spell it, and it comes right up on the screen and tells me what it is. I guess the best thing to do at this point would be to ask one of you to tear out a sheet of paper from your book. If anybody, you have something you can tear out, who has one they can tear? All right. Would you just, if you want it, sign your name, pass it on, and let's pass that thing around. Okay? In other words, all those that want it, just pass it, sign it rather, and we'll take it from there. All right. Verse 5. Ke, by the way, that's a simple conjunction. Ke, meaning and. To, phos. Okay, article. Nominative, accusative. En, ti. Now, what do we got there? That's another one now. We haven't had this one yet, have we? Okay, feminine, dative, singular. Remember, the rule again, N takes the dative, so you already know that. But what you have to find out, clue, circumflex over the ita and a subscript underneath it. Scotia. All right, identify Scotia. Don't tell me how it's translated. Just identify it for me. What is it? It's a noun. Okay. By the way, nouns have articles in front of them. Okay. There are other articular words which we'll study later. Scotia. It's what? It's dative, singular, feminine. And then fani is a present active indicative verb. Ke, e scotia. Now you see the nominative form of the same word that was in the previous verse. Afto, personal pronoun. See the to ending? What is it? Neuter, exactly. U katalavenin, there again is the, from katalaveno, meaning to understand. The u is the negative, and it did not comprehend it or understand it. Now, verse 6. Egenitu anthropos. There's no article in front of it. But you can tell me what it is by looking at it. It's a noun in the nominative masculine. Be careful of the next one. That's not a noun at all. It's a what? It's a participle. But, having shown you this, you can already see what participles have. Participles carry with them tense, okay? But they also carry the same quality as a noun. That is why you can almost write sentences by using participles. So this would be broken down as an aorist passive participle, nominative singular. That's the way you parse a participle. How do I know it's nominative singular? Look at the ending. It's got an os ending. But apostel men os, there's a clue there. Whenever you have the accent over the men, it's passive. And if it's ape, it's from apostello. There's the original word. And what they did is they dropped the second L, second OS, and added menos, which makes it participial. Don't worry about that right now. Para theou. Theou is what? It's a noun in the what case? Genitive. Onoma afto. Dative singular. Okay? Verse 7. The next article comes up. Now we have two. Yeah, I'm glad this is like this. Two photos. Say, wait a minute. Hold it. You see, are you all there? I want you to see this. Classic example. Genitive article, okay? Genitive singular article, but photos is what? Depends on what declension you're in. I warned you at the head of the class. Do you remember what I said? I said that third declension genitive nouns were spelt like second declension nominative nouns. Well, you know, it's two, so we know that's what? Genitive, so that must be genitive. They didn't misspell it, but it's third declension. So fos is apparently a third declension noun. There's a perfect example of it. Now, just for the sake of argument, put your finger over the word two, black it out so that it wasn't even there. Now, photos. If you didn't know any better, what would you have said that was? Nominative singular of the second declension, right? Correct? Yeah. But now you know that it's genitive singular of the third declension. Why? Because the article helped you. It told you it was genitive. All right. And going on down, nothing there. Verse 8, there it is again, neuter. By the way, there's a good help, because you see, neuter tells us that it's what? Generally speaking, all neuter nouns are third declension, right? Generally speaking, all masculine nouns are second declension. Generally speaking, all feminine nouns are first. That's not always the case. What determines it? Your article. Good. Alla ina da 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 da. And here we go again. Tu photos. There again, genitive in the third declension. 9, tophos. Now, the light, okay? Alithianon. Alithianon. That's a third declension accusative. Or rather, second declension accusative with the neuter noun. That's definitely accusative, right? On. To, you're not sure what it is. The article is simply reflecting. It could either be the nominative or accusative. We know it's accusative because the noun is on. That's why I gave you both of these. You not only have the paradigm for the articles, but you also have the paradigm for the second declension nouns. The reason why I picked John 1:1 is because it uses mostly what? Second declension nouns. See verse 9 again. In to fos ti alithanon. Next word. Oh. I think we had a problem with this once before. I think when my wife was here, she said that the copier did a terrible job there. This is what it should have been. That's the way it should look. Okay? That's a rough breathing plus an accent. Are you ready for this? Nominative, case, singular, articles don't have accents. So whenever you see an accent which appears to be an article, it's not an article at all. This is not an article. Okay. Don't worry about what it is. Just know that it's not an article because, for now, what does it have that articles don't have in the nominative case? Accent marks. Okay. Has a rough breathing, all right, but has an accent mark. Remember, the accent marks are, again, rough, smooth, one this way, one that way. They can be this way or that way, depending upon whether the next word begins with a consonant or a vowel. That's why these are called acute and grave. Not important that you know that, except what the accents do. The accent is where you pick up the pitch when you're saying the word. Agapi. Hear it? Suppose it was here. It would be agapi. And it's not. It's agapi. Suppose it was here. It would be agapa. Agapi. 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 That's the way it would be. Agapi. See it? And you have them like this. You have them like this, and you have them like that. There's a rule for accents. It's called the rules of accent. It could either be on the ultima, the penult, or the antepenult. Why do you have to know that? You don't have to know that. So don't worry about it. Okay. Let's move on with this. Okay. Verse 9. All right. Here's a good illustration. Next line. Panta, all, anthropon. You don't have an article in front of it, but what do you know about it? It's accusative singular, exactly. How about echomenon? That's a verb, be careful. It's actually a participle. Is ton kosmon. All right, that's definitely accusative singular masculine. From? O cosmos. Right. Not cause. Cause. All right. Thank you. And afton, accusative singular. Ik, egno. Did not know, did not understand, recognize, or comprehend. And the world was made by him, and the world did not understand him. All right. 11. Is ta. It's neural, and neural. It's neuter plural, right? It could either be. Ta-ta-ta-ta. It could either be. It could either be. It's not ta-to. It could either be plural nominative or plural accusative. You're just telling me you didn't. Yeah, that you didn't memorize them. All right, going on. Ke. E. Feminine, nominative, singular. Okay. From E, the E, it, the E. That's no problem there. It's the same thing. Afton, U, and so on. Next line, any more articles there? No, but there's a noun in there you should know. Tekna Theou. Osi de, the great verse. Verse 12. However, all those that received him, edoken, to give, he gave, it's aorist, he gave to them, see that, to them, there's your dative plural, see it, from the personal pronoun, aftos, exousion, the right or the authority, tekna Theou, tekna from sons, Theou, sons of God to become. Okay? As many as received him, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God. Tous, to the ones, so you're still in the dative case, right? Only now it's dative plural. To the ones who are believing in. All right, look at this structure. To onoma aftu. The name of his. In his name. That's the way he would translate it. Even to those who believe in his name. 13, verse. The first word. Yes. That's tis, I'm sorry. Bible school is tois. Tis. Excuse me. 13. First word. It's ER, right? That's right. So it's not an article. Yep. Got an accent mark. Okay. Try to catch on that one. 14. Keologos. What you're going to see, by the way, as we're going along, you're going to be able to pick out words, and all of a sudden you're going to say, I just translated that. Watch. Ke. What is it? And. O logos sarx. And. The word flesh, egenito, became. And the word became flesh. All right, there's no more articles on that line. Down to the next. Okay, now we have another one. Tin doxan. Aftu. Well, we know aftu is of him. What we got to figure out is tin doxan, from doxa. Doxa meaning glory. And we beheld his glory. The glory belonging to him. See, that's how you would say it. The glory which is His. That glory, see, there's a good illustration. What glory is he talking about in the second part? The same as he did in the first part. But you don't see the article in front of it repeated again. Doesn't have to be. That's the rule. It's not saying a glory here. The same glory that he's been talking about all along. All right, go on from there. Verse 15. First word. Euonius. Look up here a minute. That's Euonius. Okay? Now, that is a first declension, masculine noun. The way you would know this is if you look this up in the dictionary, you'd see O after the comma. That's my name. O Euonius. If it said E Euonius, I'm the wrong sex. All right, Euonius, from Matereo, witnessing, concerning of him, and go on. Legon, the last word in that sentence. Legon, what is it? Sure. Good try. Next one. Utos, you may not know what it is, but you know you can parse it. Nominative, singular, masculine. E, look at the next one there. See, on, that's a strange-looking word, isn't it? But what do you see there? Well, that's got a rough breathing over the Omicron, but it's also got an accent, so don't get pulled into that. All right, next word is a nominative singular masculine. See it? O. Then we have O, piso, mu. Genitive, singular, masculine, translated of mine. And going down, you have the same thing. I'm going to pick out some more articles. Are there any? Yes, 16. Two. Now look at the word after it. This is from Pliro'o. But it's Pliro'matos. Present active participle. Genitive singular. Why? Why is it a genitive singular? Exactly. Exactly. Another rule then. You cannot have a singular article with a plural noun. Doesn't make sense. Here's the rule then. The article and the noun that precedes it, or follows it rather, must agree in number, gender, and case. It'll never be otherwise. If it is, there's something wrong with your analysis, or it's not inspired. Incidentally, in the entirety of God's Word, there isn't one grammatical mistake. Not one. Isn't that ironic? But in the Book of Mormon, there were thousands before they retranslated it and retranslated it and retranslated it, and they still haven't made it grammatically correct. That is in English, much less Greek. As a matter of fact, they used to teach the Bible years ago in the classroom for grammar because of its exactness in the grammatical usage. All right, let's see what we got here. Echo, boom, 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 boom. All right, last 17. Oti, o nomos, no problem with that. The law, nominative singular, masculine. Icharis, nominative feminine singular. Ke y alithia, nominative feminine. By the way, do you see, you may not see it yet, but look at icharis. Look at the ending of that. See the is? Now, e alithia, E-I-A ending. You see it there? That's why the first declension can be a little bit confusing, because it has four different types of endings, whereas the second declension only has one, and it follows that rule, right? Os, u, on, an, right? E, and so on, and so on, and so on. First declension gets a little involved. You have first declension endings that are E-I-A, you have some that are alpha, sigma, you have some that are iota, sigma, okay? So it becomes a little bit of a problem. Icharis ke I alithia dia Jesu Christu, dia plus the genitive, there's the genitive, see it? Jesu, Jesus Christ. See, we spell Jesus Christ the same every time. But if this was Jesus Christus, it would be nominative. Jesu Christu is genitive. Jeson Christon would be accusative. See, that's the way you do it. Is it clicking in? Coming together more? Thought it would. And more next time. Now, what I'll do for you next week is I'll give you a bunch more of... Oh! Something else Bob told me. What I had him do for me, by the way, is since he's going to seminary, I just asked him to see if he could find out about getting textbooks. And he said that they got theirs from Berean Bookstore, so that's who I called to get them. But don't go there and buy one, because if I have to order them, I can get a discount if we get more than so many, you understand? 10% for more than such and such, and almost 20% for such and such. So right now I'm not sure what the discount will be, because I don't know how many of you signed the paper. But nevertheless, I'll let you know either during the week or by next Friday for sure. And those of you that did sign up for them, I'll just go ahead and order them, and when they come in, I'll just collect the money and I'll go down and get them. Simple enough. But this is what I was going to tell you. They have some flashcards also. And I didn't get a price on those, but they're not that much. And they are flashcards to help you with vocabulary as well as structure. So you can kind of, you know, how flashcards work, like they do in the fourth and fifth grades. It'd be great. I used to have, don't have any more, but I used to have little flashcards, thousands of them, with Greek words on them. And you'd look at the word and then you'd flip it over and it had it in English, the translation, whatever it was. You know, O Anthropos, the man. But they've been scattered for some reason. It came in a neat little box. It was about so long, and you know how they tuck them all in. And one day the end of the box broke in one of our movings, and I found these things scattered all over the bottom of one of my moving boxes, and I think I just let it move right out the door. Because I don't need to learn vocabulary personally. But then I didn't think that anybody else would. So if you want that, I can find out what that costs too. Maybe I can get a sample of that and bring it in, give you an idea what it is. All right, any questions? We've got some time. Are you getting it? Making sense? Learn. You got to memorize these things. You just can't sit there and say, let's see, that's, can't do that. I want you to be able to look down and just drop your eyes on that thing and pick it right out, because once you lock in the articles, then the whole second declension structure drops in line. We're going to see the same thing with the verbs. Once you learn the paradigm of the present active indicatives, you'll know the present active indicatives. And that's all you'll know. But you'll find that it... Then we're going to go into some clues. Like in the passive voice, you have theta ita with an accent over it. That tells you it's passive voice. You'll find also that there's augmenting that's done to words. If you know the words, that's why I want to build your vocabulary. Where they actually drop the first letter and change it. That tells you there's been some kind of a change inside. That tells you it's no longer present active indicative. Mark? Yes. In other words, would it be somewhere else and then the noun somewhere else? No, it would be right.